That's just the way everyone's geared differently, right? You know, I mean, we have a bunch of people that are lazy today. What can I not do? The book is a book of application. You take the word of God and you apply it, and it works. Amen. Well, I don't know if you remember a couple of years ago. I've been bringing this up throughout the last few years. I went to a flea market or an event where they had a booth out there, and it was a Roman Catholic booth. And they had Catholics out literally in a booth trying to promote their Catholic doctrine. I brought brochures here. Well, I signed up for an email from John Martigiani. I remember him. I brought him a few times up here. He has says he has 70,000 subscribers, and he's a pro Catholic, and he defends the Catholic faith, and he has people come to him and email him. And what's been frustrating over the last couple of years, people, no doubt, are born again, saved people, and he comes back with this answer with the scriptures, and they can't defend themselves. And that's just the problem of the latency in church age today. People not very Bible, don't have enough, in my opinion, Bible knowledge. So I email him here and there, and so finally, sure enough, he responds, and we have a dialogue. You're gonna find this quite interesting here. So I can always send you the whole thing. This is quite lengthy. But let me tell you what got me going. And I sent him an email, and now we have dialogue, and he's publishing this online. The reason why I'm doing this is because, not for the one guy, if he has 70,000 subscribers, hey, I'm trying to present this where these thousands of people are listening. Hey, maybe they're in between some of these things, not sure, and I'm going to give him scripture to answer his questions. So that's why I do it. Try to minister. I mean, you get a platform. God gives you a platform. Use it. Hey, look at Tim Tebow. He had 90 million people Google John 3:16. Now, I may not agree with some of his doctrine, but honestly, you get someone to do that, you've done something for Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? The Lord used you for, I take my hat off to that. I like that. I mean, what can you say? 90 million people, the Lord used you to get, you've done something for Jesus Christ. Amen? So what can I say? This is an email he sent, and it's interesting here, and I want to get through all I can, and you'll kind of see a lot of things that we ourselves can be used of the Lord some way. I mean, we go to a place here, we got good doctrine, great Bibles and knowledge. It's great to know that, but we want to put it into use some way, whether it be individually, your neighbor, some way. Say, Lord, I got all this information, Bible knowledge. I could be in a rock and roll church, and here we go. Well, we're not. So use some of this. So this email came out at the very beginning. This week, I'm reading what he says. This week, I was given 8 questions that were sent to me to a Catholic friend. This is John, who writes a newsletter of mine, by a Protestant Baptist. He calls everyone Protestant. We're Bible believers. We get that. I understand. He doesn't understand this thing, but here he is. He called Protestant Baptist minister that my friend has engaged in dialogue via email. The questions, and particularly the underlying misconceptions about Catholicism behind the questions, are fairly common throughout Protestantism. So I thought I would share them with you. His questions are in italics, and my answers to those questions are asterisks. Now, the reason why I started dialogue is because this guy here, I'm going to read the questions, asks great questions. I doubt the guy's probably a saved man. But the problem is he says, this guy didn't respond to me. Well, what good is giving? Maybe he's busy or didn't see it, whatever it is. But and this John guy responds to him, which I'll show you his answers. And then I then pick up and send an email. I'll show you my email I sent him. Now we have dialogue. And I think you'll find it's quite interesting, and maybe learn some things from the scripture, or confirm what things you already have, or so forth. So here's number one question. And he asks a great question. This Baptist guy goes, what is the gospel? Or another way of asking the same question, how do you believe that someone becomes a Christian and has their sins forgiven? So that's a good question. I agree with that. I'm going to give you what John says later. Question number two, this Baptist guy asks, all good questions. Do you understand the Catholic Church to preach a gospel of works or a gospel of faith in Jesus? So whoever this guy is, he's asking good questions. Three, he asks, is your salvation, quote, justification, dependent on works or the things you do, or is it dependent fully and completely on Jesus and the work that he did on Calvary's cross by faith alone? Definitely a good question. They're all good questions. Four, how would you define justification? In the Catholic Church, what is the difference between sanctification and justification? Oh, that's a great question. We understand that. I mean, it's a difference. They kind of blend it together. So this guy's asking great questions. Five, do you believe that justification is conditional, depending on faith, dependent on faith, works, and the sacraments, or unconditional, depending on Jesus Christ's sovereign work and finished work on Calvary's cross as a gift of God by faith? So you can see this guy clearly understands, I think, salvation. Six, does the Catholic Church teach that baptism justifies you and makes you free from sin at the moment you are baptized? Seven, is baptism required for salvation, justification? Question mark. And last one, what things must be done by a Catholic in order for them to be justified or to become Christian? So he's real specific. Now, I'm going to show you in 25 pages, we get to the first question only. But you know why? Because you got to lay a foundation. You understand that? When you have a solid foundation, you can build upon it. If you have a foundation of sand, it's going to go. So he asked these questions, and then what John did is he gave you his answers. Hey, here's how you answer this, Protestant. And I'm going to use answers. And of course, he doesn't respond. That's where I picked up. I go, hey, well, I'm going to respond because this guy, I don't know if he's busy or doesn't respond. I don't know how to respond. It did seem over the years as people that would confront him and they did respond back like, that's a dumb answer. You didn't give the guy any meat or anything to be able to counter that. That's what we should do. I was just, be ready always to give an answer to the hope life in you, right? And you know, I've been on the street for many, many, many years. And I remember when I first went on the street, I was a little nervous. What are they going to say? Something I didn't know. And what though? That's true. Some things I didn't know. But you know what though? Hey, I don't know the answer. I went home, got the answer. I go, I got the answer now. After hundreds of thousands of time talking to people and in jail, you just get to be, you know the answer. I still don't know the answers, but I know pretty much the general stuff. Some guy wants to pick out something real small. I have to go home and look it up, whatever. But generally, you know the basic answers after a while. That's what the, as a young babe in the Lord, then you become a young father, and then a father, you know, then an elder, an age, and you know more and more Bible, and that's what we should be doing. We should be growing to be able to answer that. So let me just read you the email I sent him, and I think you'll find this to be quite interesting. I don't know how much we'll get to this today, but I think you'll find this to be quite interesting, I hope. Okay, so here's my email to him. John Martigiani, I must say, your answers prove that you do not understand basic truths about scriptures. So you may think I may be a little mean here, but watching his 2 years email, he's just completely knocks anyone that's not Catholic. I mean, I wanted to know where I'm coming from. Any saved, knowledgeable person can rebuttal your answers easily. You must deal with pretty shallow believers who do not want to post answers from Bible-believing, rightly dividing perspective. I can answer your questions quite easily, but I don't think you would post the true answers to folks because it would prove the Catholic answers are heresy, and you would have to admit your system of belief is incorrect. Let's do a few rounds and see if you ever have come across a Bible believer. And by the way, in a P.S., I sent him the reason I stated maybe you were you were not willing to dialogue because I've sent you emails from the past with no answers. I'm sure you're busy or maybe overlooked them. So I don't want to accuse him, but I sent him emails in the past and never responded. Hey, you know, I'll throw him out there because I really, this is, you know, kind of goofy. But so finally now, sure enough, he responds. So he says, oh, Tim. Well, Tim, you don't know a lot about me. What then do you? I have never been afraid to post what I receive from Protestants. Calls me a Protestant. Okay. That's kind of true. I hate that. I'm against the Catholic Church. Protestant means protest against the system. I'm a protester. Amen. So I'll wear that little hat. As it only goes to strengthen the arguments of the Catholic Church. However, I have never been accorded the same courtesy by the Protestants on their websites. I wonder why that is. In other words, they don't respond back to me. Well, if you have dialogue with somebody, you know, continue on where you know the point where you're just wasting your time, you know? So no doubt people seem to answer back and he went back and never got back from them. So go ahead and send me your rightly dividing answers. I dealt with you 2 Timothy 15 folks before and your misinterpretation of scripture many times before. Let's see if you can be the first one to actually defend your position with logic and scripturally consistent answers. Okay, well, I'm in. Okay? So let me now show you what I sent him. And it's a lengthy, but you have to build a foundation. I knew I had some dialogue. And by the way, he is publishing this online. So I can send you an email if you want. Everything's online. If you want to read this online. So we're getting this out to 70,000 or 100 people watching. John, I listened to your testimony. And this is real important, by the way, because it's good to know who you're talking to a little bit. I mean, it's not a guy in the street in 5 minutes. And this is his testimony, and I wrote it here. So I'm trying to show him that I'm listening to what you're saying. I listened to your testimony about how you have seen the many variations and brands of Christianity, and this is 100% true. There are different varieties of brands, not only with the cults. And I gave example, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witness, Seventh-day Adventist, Church of Christ, Catholicism. I put them right in the cult there. So I'm right on. I come out right here with my gun out, drawn already, boom, 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 blown out already, you know, showing that I'm considering your cult. But also the so-called evangelical brands of Christianity, Methodist, Lutheran, Baptist, over 100 brands of these, biblical churches, many brands of these, charismatic churches, many brands of these, Calvinist churches, Arminians, and so on and so on. So I want to know that I'm not just a little guy here. I understand some of this stuff. Charismatic churches, and many of these, and so on and so on. The question you had in your testimony is why are there so many isms and schisms with different beliefs? How can this be? John, you asked a good question. I mean, he asked a good question. Unfortunately, you landed with the wrong answer and came to the Roman Catholic Church as your final authority. That was his testimony. I watched his video. All these brands and isms. You know what, though? We know that the Bible is the most counterfeited book out there, amen? We know that Christianity is counterfeited, right? So we know that, and some guy doesn't know this. How do you explain all the isms and schisms? By once you get the book down, you can explain that. But that's why we understand that. So, John, if you want to be shown how this can easily be answered, only the Holy Spirit can guide you to be your true guide of the answer. I can only show you from scripture, history, and truth. If you are an honest person, you will come to the same conclusion that millions in time past have concluded, and due to the latency age we are now living, amen, brother, a very few come to this conclusion today. That's why we have the current mess. So I'm trying to build a foundation. Hey, listen, John, I know where you came from. I hear your testimony, you know, so I get it, but you came to the wrong conclusion. Okay, so let me begin with a very simple question so we can have a solid foundation. I'm going to build on this foundation. It's all online, but I'm giving you the skinny. The question is the reason for the problem above and your search for absolute truth. The question is sound doctrine. I mean, it's sound doctrine. And I've gone through this. 2 Timothy 4:3, Titus 1:9, without going through the verses for time's sakes, you know, shows you what doctrine is. Can you define what sound doctrine is? And the scriptures do you have to defend your answer? If we can agree on this, then all the above bad teaching can be explained. If we cannot agree on this, all we will either go back and forth and never stand on sound foundation. You understand that? If you don't get the Bible issue, write the Bible things down, that's what his problem is. He don't know that, but we got to have, obviously, a solid foundation. Okay, so, the reason I ask you this question is that I'm trying to lay a foundation, a solid foundation, that if we have a good foundation, we'll never get into false heretical doctrine. I noted many times in your answers and questions, you broke the sound doctrinal foundation. And when I answer your questions, you will see you have the typical poor foundation, which will lead to doctrinal error that will affect your eternal soul. I already watched that for 2 years. I don't even believe. So I'm coming in, you know, again here. If you pay attention, you will learn some things here. And don't be afraid of the truth, John 17:17. Especially if what you're thought or believed by a man or religion. Now, he may be hard-headed. I don't know. But remember, I'm trying to look at who's reading his emails. I ain't like one guy back and forth. I could be a waste of time. You understand that? When I'm out in the street a lot of times, what I know the devil will do, he'll send one guy to ask you stupid questions. He ain't really interested. But you spend 45 minutes with them, you wasted all their time. So I right away try to discern. You know, discern. This guy wasted my time. Or is he really interested in it? You know, I mean, he's wasting my time. He's into a devil on some stupid thing, so I can't, I got to spend my time with him. Not spend time if someone's interested and not get tracks out or talk to somebody else. So you got to discern this, but I got a platform, so I'm trying to look at who's watching this. The Bible definition of sound doctrine is quite simple. It is the way God intended us to study the word, 2 Timothy 2:15. Divide that into the perfect word of God, Matthew 24:35, Psalm 12:6-7. Heaven and earth shall pass away, my word shall not pass away. Psalm 12:6-7, pure words purified seven times. You know that. The King James Bible, 2 Timothy divided King James Bibles equals sound doctrine. John, there's a pure word of God, the AB 1611, and over 250 counterfeits. So this is basic foundational teaching. Paul laid out 2 Timothy 15 perfectly. We are to study it, be approved unto God, don't be ashamed, and rightly divided. Almost all cults, ism, heresy out today either use a satanic counterfeit Bible and or do not rightly divide it. And by doing this, you can get the scripture to say almost anything you want to say. I'll show you this truth and the answers you provide to your questions to your newsletter. Now, hang on. So I'm in sales. I'm already trying to tell him. I already know see his answers. So I'm just trying to tell him why he's wrong. You can say blue, black, and we go back and forth. But when you explain something, how it works, someone listening, hey, that does make sense. So I'm trying to appeal to the people here. So I'm trying to lay that foundation. John, didn't your God give you a perfect book? Mine did. Didn't your God tell you how to study it? Mine did. Once you realize you have a JW coming to your home or something, if you could put holes in their armor some way, especially the young guy, and question things, maybe the Holy Spirit get in there. Yeah. So I'm trying to do that, not him, to his letters. There are many gospels, spirits, and Jesus, your soul better be 100% sure you got the correct ones. And I quote 2 Chronicles 11:4. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if he receive another spirit, which we have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. And I quote Galatians 1:7, which is not another, but there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. If you have an online apologetics, you better know what you're talking about. So I'm just trying to give him some scripture here, because he tried to, and I've seen my answers, give me a chapter on there, chapter and verse on that. And I gave it to him. But his answers have no chapter and verses, because he's giving you his thought, and we'll get to that later, you know. I think he's kind of mad at me later on because he can't answer. Very interesting. Okay, John, do you know the only two places in Scripture where the devil shows up and gives a play-by-play verse of what he wants to attack? So I'm trying to show him, you know, hey, Scripture, Genesis 3:1. So I'm trying to show him the Word of God, right? The vision is a key thing to a good base. So I went to Genesis 3:1. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, the Lord. What do you say? I'm just kind of paraphrasing for time frame. Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. John, the first thing the devil wants you to do is to question God's word. So I'm putting that right there up front. Remember, building a foundation. So I'm questioning right there up front. I'm giving the scripture so people can see it. And King James there, hey, questioning God's word. That's what they do the whole time. Well, you know. And I've asked him what his final authority is, and he's, after three emails, he's still getting an answer. Because he knows now, I got to give him an answer to this guy. You know, I'll get into that a little later, okay. Eve subtracted from the text, she removed the word freely, and then added touch. The devil questioned the word and gave a half-truth. That's what they do. And Eve subtracted and added to the word. An innocent woman programmed by God, easily tricked. Ain't that something? You ever think about that? She was programmed out of the loins of God, but she was innocent, and the devil tricked her. Hey, that's a pretty amazing thing if you think about that thing, you know. This is what the devil has been trying to do ever since, and with great success. And that's why we have 250 plus different versions and come from the satanic line of the Codex Vaticanus and Codex Sinaiticus, where your Roman Catholic Bible comes from. I'm right up front with them. You know, so I just tell him, hey, so I know what you're going to say. I already talked about that already, you know. So I'm just already giving him way more information. He's probably right over his head. Okay, you don't even have a real Bible. How pathetic is that? No wonder why Catholics have to go to a man who is a sinner and wears a Dagon fish hat to interpret what the word says. I can throw it in there because I watched him bewilder our people. And I'm just trying to throw a little bit in there. I don't know that I'm not caring and sharing new evangelical whatever, and I love everybody, you know what I mean, you know? Because God doesn't love everybody, you know? Okay. In my 37 years of being saved, I still am amazed at such ignorance. I hope the Holy Spirit is showing you some things here. So I'm trying to throw in, maybe the Holy Spirit is just trying to get in here, or a guy who's watching this. Hey, I never heard of that. Number two spot that is at Luke 4, in Luke 4, 1 to 13. And I didn't quote the whole thing because I'm writing an email and it's taking lengthy. It says, the Lord comes before his time. The Lord Jesus Christ is in these verses. The devil was trying to get him to change the way the scriptures were laid out and wanted the Lord to come before his time. Hey, die now. They're going to cross. He's changing the times, not really dividing the word. This is going on big time today. And that's why we have the cults and heresies. Look what happened after temptation in Luke 4, 14 to 21. So you can't miss it. And then I quote this verse where Jesus returned the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He had sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable day of the Lord." And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all of them were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say to them, "This day this scripture fulfilled in your eyes." The Lord went to the book of Isaiah, I'm right now, and quoted only up to the middle verse of Isaiah 61:2 and stop. So later on, he thinks this is baloney. Like, Jesus Christ did that. I'm trying to show him that the God Almighty used rightly divide things. Give me a chapter, and he can't. So I'm trying to, people watching, wait a minute here. Why? Because it's the break between the first coming, Jesus was in the midst, and the second coming in 61:12 were the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ 2,000 years later. The Lord Jesus Christ rightly divide the word. How can you miss it? That's how we should study the word. So I'm giving him an example. Right here is clear that Jesus Christ, temptation, I try to get him off, and then the very next thing goes temple, and he stops right there. You know, that's key. You know, you get that. I mean, you guys are in our camp, you know. John, I gave you two places of scripture where the Lord shows you a clear path where devil messes with two very important truths, the word of God and rightly dividing the scriptures. There is no small matter. It's no small matter. This is why you are all messed up in your theology and fortunately not have either correct. So I lay it right on there because I already read all his answers to his questions, and almost every one is he's taking them out of context. So I already got his answer. So I, even before he answered me, I would have had him on there, but I'm trying to show him ahead of time the exit. This is a boatload of, and by the way, there's a boatload of information on Bible issue and right division. So just to put a few links below, I will not want to spend hours redoing what others have done. I will spend time on the application of these truths and show how you get bad doctrine to your answer. So I gave him two links. I gave him Modern Biblical Scholarship by Robert Breaker. It's only 40 minutes long, but he goes through it super detailed, real quick on the board. And then I showed him Amazing Truths from Genesis to Revelation by Gene Kim. It's 3 hours long, but I got to admit it's pretty slick. And if you read the comments, I've learned more in 3 hours than 50 years because he goes through, lays it out in detail. Now, it's a 3.5 hours, but I don't want to you know, I just want to lay out maybe some of the link on this thing in this website and go, hey, let me check that out. And maybe, you know, hey, look at that thing. So I'm trying to get exposure to these people. Go, hey, wait a minute here. That is pretty amazing. So I put him out there and he published it. So it's online. So go look at him and everything, you know. Now, let's look at the first question. Now I'm going to get to the first. I only got through the first half questions only in a bunch of pages. It's important to see how people respond. And he's getting very frustrated because he can't answer a scripture. He's trying to get me to believe me that I'm infallible and only the Pope is not. I know he's trying to get me there, so I answer around that, kind of, you know, be careful, you know. I'm trying to answer around it and say, oh no, the Word of God, I'm pointing to the Word of God. I keep pointing back to that Word. That's infallible. I can make a mistake. I keep pointing back to that there to try to point to Scripture more than the man. So here we go. Now, let's look at your first question you went over. And I will answer it from the perfect book, the King James Bible, and give you rightly divided answers. And my answers are in red. So here's the first question he asked, the Baptist guy asked, what is the gospel? And by the way, interesting. You'll see here, the first question he answers right, but then the second one, he gives you a half-truth, and it's all that way. That's exactly the way all the cults work. You have a Jehovah's Witness come to your door. They give you, oh, yeah, isn't the world a big mess? Oh, all sinners, yeah, we all agree there. And then, it's a hook to get people only better, and they give you a bunch of baloney. I have the material at home. And same thing, the Mormon. If you ever sit down one day with the Mormon and give you a presentation, the first thing they show you is, correct, oh, yeah, all these religions in the world, they're all confused. So, and that's true. But then they come to rest on the Book of Mormon and Mormonism. It's like they do. So you can see the cults, how they work and how the devil really kind of works, you know. So what he does here is, what is the gospel? The gospel by which we are saved is this. Christ died, this is his answer, for sins in accordance with Scripture. He was buried, and they raised the third day according to Scripture. I go, John? Now I say, John, I would say yes. This is the gospel for believers today under the age of grace. I would agree with the statement. I wrote it here in the King James Bible because it's perfect. I quoted it. Now, listen to his answer. How do someone become a Christian? A Christian is a member of the body of Christ. This is his answer to the Baptist guy. Never answered, right? How does Scripture tell us one becomes a member of the body of Christ? Here's his answer. Through baptism. Is that there, you know? Say, oh yeah, baptism. I said, my answer is, John, you just lied. No one is saved by water baptism today. I am assuming this is what baptism you are referring to. And it is, because I got his other answers, you know. John, if you agree with the gospel is 1 Corinthians 15:4, then where is the water found anywhere in these passages? ? So where's water at? See, yeah, that's the gospel, but you see what I'm saying? You get that, right? You know, there's no water baptism found anywhere in the description. You have to add it to the verse, John, just like the devil adds, subtracts from the word. So I built my foundation, you know? Now, let's look at the scripture you gave. And he gave 1 Corinthians, he's given scriptures. And every single one, I went through every single scripture and flip-lighted it. And he gave 1 Corinthians 12:13. And let's look at that just so we can see what they gave. 1 Corinthians 12:13. I wrote it here, and I respond. I'm hoping people are going to read this thing and go, hey, wait a minute, this guy is answering back. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, for by one Spirit we are all baptized into the body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we have been all made a drink unto one Spirit. Now, obviously, they're thinking that's water. I get it, remember? I get it. Here's what I said. John, this verse has nothing to do, this verse has to do with the one body of Christ and nothing to do with water baptism. I was telling them what it is, you know. This is spiritual baptism that puts the believer into the one body of Jesus Christ at the new birth. The spiritual baptism is necessary for eternal life. I gave Romans 6:3-4. You have to add physical water to come up with the private interpretation. That's what they do. They assume baptism means water. You know that, okay? Now, then he goes to Galatians 3:7. And so I answered every one, and every one of them, you have to. That's what, you have to kind of blow out their kind of, you know, theology, Galatians chapter 3:27, and it says, for as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have you put on Christ? And I'll show you later. He thinks you're baptized in Christ when you're an infant. I mean, obviously ridiculous. This is, again, a spiritual baptism. God is doing the work, putting a believer into the body of Christ, not man getting wet by H2O. Okay? So, you see where it's coming from, you know? I mean, you can just give him the truth, give him the scripture, and the Holy Spirit's got to do the work, okay? And then this last one he gave here, and he gave a bunch of them, Colossians 2:11-12. And let's go to the Colossians 2:11-12. This is a real good one, by the way. It says here, in whom also we have circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, whereby we are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who has raised him from the dead. Now, that's some good doctrine there. So that's a good doctrine there. So here's how I answered it. John, a great truth that has absolutely nothing to do with water. Your private interpretation, again, no Bible. These two verses have to do when someone gets saved and what happens to their soul and body. The unsaved man is in the flesh because he has spiritual body, the soul. Is it attached to the natural body? Romans 7:1-4. At the new birth, the Holy Ghost circumcises the soul from the body with the spiritual knife. I quoted Hebrews 4:12, you know, quick and sharp, but word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even dividing a soul asunder, joint and marrow, discerning thoughts and thoughts of the heart. Amen. The soul is regenerated and loose from the flesh and is joined to the spirit. Romans 8:9. This spiritual laser surgery is called the operation of God. This is a great truth on eternal security, which is a Bible doctrine. I'm already throwing in that. I know where they are. So I'm already throwing, this is a great truth. The operation of God, Baptists don't even know that. It's kind of sad. So, okay, hey, that's as far as I'm going. I got started. Wait till you see the rebuttals. This is interesting here. And he's publishing it. The rebuttals are very interesting. I can see him getting pretty aggravated because he's, in all the 2 years, he's never dealt with someone, honestly, that could give an answer with the scripture, stand on the word, rightly divided. I mean, I throw his whole theology out, and he's literally, I think he's getting a little antsy. You'll see his answers a little bit later. We got way more to go through, so I'll cover next time, okay? So I hope you find this interesting, and this is something you can, you know, do with somebody on whatever level you are. Try to get this information and the truth of God's word out there some way and be used of the Lord, okay? All right, Father in heaven, thank you very much for just an opportunity to bring some of these things up and maybe help us sharpen our sword a little better and be ready to give an answer with the hope that liveth within us, even these last days and these last days of the church and the time draweth nigh. So thank you, Father. Pray people can use this. I pray for the people reading this even online that they'd be able to see some truth and be changed spiritually, salvation and grow, Father. So we thank you very much. I look forward to Pastor Hoffman coming and opening up the Word of God and feeding us further, Father. We ask this and thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.